All right, let's pray and we'll get rocking and rolling and we'll see what happens today. So, Father God, I love you. I thank you for today. I thank you for just the Passpoint class. I thank you for the opportunity just to serve you, Lord. Lord, I thank you for the marriage conference. It was just really great to get away and just take a solid, 24 hours and just invest in our marriages. I do pray that it's time well spent. It's time that we'll reflect in eternity, Lord. So I do pray that you would just be glorified in our lives. I pray you just speak to today. Put me out of the way. I really don't have a lot to say, Lord, but you did show me some cool things just out of the word. So I pray you just speak today. Lord, I pray for the Clinton prayer team who's out this morning and they're just ministering to that church. So I pray that you just use them and just those who are in the ministry this morning. In Christ's name, amen. So those who don't know, generally we have several other people that are here, but they're on the Clinton prayer team. So they're in Clinton today and they just went and they're like, hey, we're just going to do all your child care today. So that's cool. I'm glad they're doing that. One other announcement I forgot to throw in, and I do want to throw in because I feel for them. I've been there. So Mitchell and Jody have the vision conference coming up. Everybody's got the vision conference coming up, but you need to make time for that. And I said that last week in service, but I definitely wanted to charge you guys with that. Make time for that. It's totally worth it. If you ask me, it's the greatest thing we do year-round here at Heartland, just to get people fired up. So it's totally worth it. But anyway, they take the children's wing, the children's hallway, and they change it into something crazy. So I don't know what the theme is this year. Paige and I did this for several years. Soar?
So okay, well. It's going to be like airstrip. And
okay, well. They'll have everything. So they need help. And so.
Yeah, not like a boiling sore.
It actually works out well. Yeah. Not a boiling sore, but okay. I did want to kind of charge you guys with this. I'm glad that actually they're not in here today because, like normal, they're in there taking care of the kids like they are almost every week. But if we as a class could help them out some, kind of take that on. It seems like year in and year out we do this thing and it's like there's less and less people that are available to help because everybody's got their own thing going on. But they're working every Saturday from, do you have the hours page?
They sent out an email. Yeah, let me put it real quick. Every Saturday from 10 to 4, but then also every Tuesday from 12 to 4 and every Thursday from 12 to 4.
If you're available and they just want some help. They don't need, obviously, if they can use me, they don't need artistic ability. They just need people who can help out. So it would be ministering to them if we could help them out some. So, yes, ma'am. When's the vision conference? It is in, it's coming up. It's coming up quick.
8th through the
12th? No.
7th through the 10th.
Yes.
April 7th.
So it starts in 4 weeks.
So the week before it starts, so the
Fabulous 5th before that.
Yeah, the Fabulous 5th, probably starting that day all the way through the 6th. They'll be up there every day from like 10 in the morning till 8 at night, everything up.
But yeah, the Vision Conference starts the 7th, so they'll be normal church Sunday morning. There'll be a deal Sunday night. It'll be kind of, they'll have dinner for everybody. They'll have a reception with the folks that are coming in. The guy's name is Joe Hendricksman this year from Mexico. I can't tell you where in Mexico he's from. He's just south of the border.
Oaxaca.
Okay. Anyway. And so, and then there'll be church Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday night that week too. And so it's good. There's also some morning sessions Monday and Tuesday. They're usually a little bit lighter, but it's really good stuff. So make time for it. All right. Yes, ma'am.
Do you have any idea when Randy's going to tell the host families who they're hosting?
Probably pretty soon. Because I asked him the other day because I just assumed he knew we were going to want to. And everybody but like two people have, it's already housed. Usually he struggles finding housing for everybody, so I'll ask him. Well, it doesn't. I will find out, but I do know that I won't find out tonight. I'm not going to my meeting tonight, but I'll find out for you because I need to. I'll tell him people are wanting to know. All right, so if you got your Bibles, hopefully you guys are keeping up with what we're doing. We're reading through the Bible in a year as a class. Huh?
Ish.
What does ish mean?
Up-ish.
So where are we supposed to be right now, Paige? She's got this binder of all knowledge.
What is today? The 9th?
10th. Today's the 10th.
Oh, right.
Yes,
so
the 10th.
Happy birthday, Doug.
Today's reading is Judges 7.
So yeah, we're in Judges. Are you that far ahead?
I'm not in judges.
So if you want to...
Oh my God.
I told you, it's like two or three chapters a day, or three or four chapters a day, which doesn't seem like a lot until you get behind. Then it's a lot.
I remember when I did get caught up. Anything I go ahead and say, I'm like, I am caught up.
And I am not getting behind.
Like, now I never get behind you.
So if you got your Bibles, turn over to the book of Joshua, chapter 1. And I'm going to start here. And so, God showed me some cool things out of the first several chapters of Joshua. And so most of this stuff you guys have already know. And so it's what comes after the part that we all already know that it was really kind of cool. And so that's kind of what I want to talk about. So Joshua is something that if you're behind, you may not have gotten to yet. Or if you're where you're supposed to be, this was old news. But so Joshua chapter 1. And so there's a couple of things I want to show you out of the first little bit of this. It's really, really cool. And then we're going to kind of fast forward up to chapter 7 after that. But so if you know, and you guys have been reading it, but so Joshua was kind of Moses' right-hand guy after Aaron passed, right? So he was one of the 12 spies who went in. He was one of the two that said, hey, we should actually do this thing that God told us to do, as opposed to... So Joshua and Caleb were those two guys. And so Moses dies at the end of the book of Deuteronomy. And Joshua chapter 1, I think it's really cool what God does to start this thing out. Because he says, okay, you're going to be the guy now. You're going to be the guy that I kind of use, that I speak through. Moses is gone now. But before he's like, hey, here's your list of to-dos. I want something to do. And he gives him this charge. And you'll hear, anytime there's ever a charge given, like at a graduation or something like that, it seems like they always go back to the book of Joshua because it's a really good charge. But there's a couple things in here that I want to point out. So I'm just going to kind of read through this really quickly, and I'm going to, you know, pull three things out of this, and then we're going to fast forward because I want to get to chapter 7. But it says, in Joshua chapter 1, it says, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. In case you didn't know that, he's gone. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all the people, unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that how I have given unto you. And I said, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even to the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites and under the great sea towards the going down of the sun shall be your coast. So he just, that's just kind of a real quick, hey, Joshua, this is what I'm giving to you. And this is the first time that God has actually spoken to Joshua himself, saying, hey, you know all those things that were promised to Moses? I was serious about it. You're actually going to get these things. Now, you remember Moses didn't actually get to go into the promised land. He had that anger issue with hitting the rock twice, and he was really hacked off at the people. And so God was like, hey, I'll let you see the land. And that's what he does in the last chapter of Deuteronomy. But he doesn't let him go in. And so now that he's gone, God's like, hey, you guys should be excited because it's time. It's time to actually go and get this thing done, to go into the land, right? And so here's what he says. And so he says in verse 5, there shall not be any man able to stand before thee. There's a lot of promises that God gives Joshua here. You can spend a lot of time here, but I'm trying to get through it quickly. But so there shall not be any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. Now that's a promise that I could roll with, right? There's nobody that's going to get in your way, ever. Ever. There's nothing that's going to get in your way, right? As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. Now, if you really studied out how God dealt with Moses, there was nothing that kept this guy from getting what he was going to get done, right? There was nothing. He parted the Red Sea for this cat, right? He's like, oh, I get all that too? That's really cool, right? He says, I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for under this people shall thou divide for an inheritance in the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be strong and of good courage, for under this people shall thou divide for an inheritance in the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. That was the verse before. Only be strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe and do according to the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it from the right hand to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. So he gives Joshua this really cool promise, right? And you can look at it and you can divide it up however you want. He gives them this promise that anybody should want to hold on to, right? He's like, I will go with you wherever you're going to go. I will be with you wherever you're going to be. No matter what you come across, I'll take care of this, right? Now, that's a really cool promise that's given, right? And then he says, he gives instruction on how to fulfill this promise, right? Because God can give you a promise, right? God can give you... You can also look at this like in this threefold thing as like... So you've got a lost guy. You've got a saved Christian who doesn't really know what to do without discipleship. And then you've got somebody who knows how to do exactly what God's called them to do, right? Like a sanctified saint. So that first part, God gives you a promise as a lost person, right? If you'll just believe me, you can have salvation. All right, well, that sounds great. It sounds great. And then he goes on in verse 8 and he says... This book, right? So they didn't have the whole Bible at the time, obviously. They didn't have all of this, but they had the law, right? And that's what they were living by. Now, obviously, we don't live by the law, but we do have God's instruction book on life. You know, praise the Lord, we don't have to live by the law. But it says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe and do according to all that is written therein. For then, so he says, you can have all that. And if you do all that, then here's what I will do. Then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. And then thou shalt have good success. Just a quick tidbit. That's the only time in your King James Bible that the word success is in there. The only time that you will ever have what we consider success is if you take the Word of God and you apply it to your life. Right? Now we can spend a lot of time on that. That's just a little... tidbit you can.
That's the only time
that the in the King James Bible that the word success is translated that way, right? Right. The only time that you're looking at what success really is to in God's eyes, you know, it's not about making a lot of money. It's not about building big houses. It's not about having great families. It's about taking the Word of God and applying it to your life and just doing what He told you to do with it, right? So He gives you this cool promise. Then He gives you instruction on how to fulfill that promise. We call that discipleship, right? We take the Word of God and we invest it in somebody's life. So then you can, in turn, take the Word of God, invest it in somebody's life, right? And then, but there's also an expectation, right? So after you've been discipled, once you know the Word of God a little bit, there's an expectation to do what you know to do, right? There's an expectation. It's no different than with my kids. I can tell them, hey, you probably shouldn't have done that. Maybe you didn't know, but you shouldn't have done that, right? Okay, so now there's an expectation to not do that again. So that when they do it again, okay, now there's going to be consequences, right? Verse 9, so you're given this awesome promise, and now you know how to fulfill the promise, but there's an expectation. He says, have I not commanded thee? Okay, so now you know better, and if you're not going to live it, God's going to say, now hang on a minute, didn't I already tell you once? Have I not commanded thee, be strong and of good courage? Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee wherever thou goest. Right? So we know in context, he's talking about, you guys need to quit messing around in the wilderness. It's time. Cross the Jordan. Cross the river. Right? And they're like, well, how are we going to cross the river? It's really big and wide. And, you know, we forgot about, you know, how God parted the Red Sea, so He probably couldn't do that again for us. You know, he's in context, that's what He's talking about. You need to go and take it. Right? You need to go and do it. But you can apply that to your life. Right? You can take the... You got these promises given by God. Hey, you can have a life in Christ if you just accept it. But you can accept it, and if that's all you do, that's great. You know, you're in heaven, that's all good. But he desires more for you. And He gives you this instruction on what to do. He says, hey, I've got this book. Or I think it's really cool that it says this book. It doesn't, it just says this book. I can take that and I can run with it, right? Apply it to your life, right? Do something with it, because here's the instruction, and now there's an expectation. Right? Now you know better, now live it. right? And that's where we're at. I think that's really cool as we look into that kind of charge, but I got to keep moving. So that's kind of how chapter 1 goes down. You roll into chapter 2, and I'm just going to kind of give you a synopsis because I want to get to chapter 7. So in chapter 2, they send spies out again to go into the land, right? And they roll into Rahab's house. This time they only send 2 spies. I think it's probably not a coincidence that they don't send 12 again. They just send 2 because there was only 2 that caught on the first time. But so they go. You've got the whole thing with Rahab where she hides them out in her house, and they promise that, hey, when we come in, we won't kill you, but everybody else, you need to be ready to go. So that's kind of how that plays out. You can read it. So then they, in chapter 3 and 4, you know, they prepare and then they actually go and cross the Jordan, right? And so that's a big step. They finally take that step into the promised land. I mean, we've been reading since January 1st in the Bible, and what have they been talking about? Like, since Genesis chapter 12, they've been talking about this promised land, right? And so here it is, March, and they're finally just now getting there. Or it would have been a little bit before March, but I'm a little bit behind in my reading as well. So he's been talking about this for a long time, so it's a big thing that they're finally there. They're in the promised land, right? Chapter 5 talks about how the people in the land are like, okay, they're here. We've been hearing about this for a while. Now they're here. And I've heard about their God, and he's a big God, right? And so that's kind of chapter 5. Chapter 6 is the chapter that everybody really wants to get to all the time, right? Talks about Jericho. I've taught this 6 different ways over, under. I love this story. Brian Clark from London taught this, and I really love it. So I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it, right? But if you want to hear anything about... it's just crazy. When you think about how the thing at Jericho went out, God will do and use the most inept, uncanny, I don't even know the words I'm looking for, the craziest ways to show that, you know what, I'm God, and I don't really need your help if you'll just be obedient, right? And so he's like, hey, I got this plan. He's like, Joshua, I got this plan, right? It says, now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. They're scared, right? They got these big walls. And God's like, hey, I got this plan. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to go and I want you to just walk around the city one time. Hey. He's like, hey, I want you to go and I want you to walk around the city, but I don't want you to say anything. He's like, huh? That's your plan? Like, I got a whole lot of people. We could probably just get in. He's like, no, let's just walk around the city. He's like, okay. And he's like, hey, but here's the thing. We're going to do that 7 days in a row. And Joshua, he's full of faith, right? He got this promise from God back in chapter 1. He's like, okay, I believe you, God, right? I got this book of the law, and I believe you, but I'm supposed to be the leader of this people. And if you didn't know, these people, they're not the smartest group, God. You didn't pick the smartest people in the world if you didn't know already, right? And you want me to go tell these guys that we're going to just walk around the city and then the walls are going to fall down. Yeah, I bet they're going to believe me, God, right? He uses the craziest things in the world. So go back and read the story. It's crazy. It shows how God can use nothing that is believable to get his word accomplished, right? It reminds me a lot of my life. God, if he wanted somebody that was qualified to teach the word, if he wanted somebody that was eloquent, that was anything, I'm just a dumb kid from, you know, Cass County, Bates County now, who nails boards together and picks sand out of a lake, right? But God allows me to teach his word because, and so he uses the weak things to confound the wise, is what it says, right? And so that's kind of how chapter 6 rolls out. And then chapter 7. So you got to think that these guys are kind of on cloud 9, right? Everything's been going pretty good for them. You know, Moses died. That kind of was a downer, but, you know, it happens. You know, and God said that he was with him. So they're like, okay, now Joshua takes over. They got these really cool promises. Things are going pretty good, right? They're in the promised land. They've been talking about this thing forever. They're in the promised land. They're on cloud 9. Everything is going great, right? They go into Jericho. The city that nobody thought anybody could conquer, and like they walk around the city 7 times and they shout real loud and the walls fall down and they kill everybody, and it's like God is doing this thing, and they're on cloud 9, they're rolling with it, right? You ever been like that in your Christian walk where it's like I had some tough times, but right now it seems like God's really doing some things in my life, right? when you were caught up in your eating, right? Like, everything is going right. It's like, I think I'm getting somewhere, right? We just come back from this marriage conference. A lot of you guys did. And it's like, God's really doing something in my life. I feel like, you know, I'm ready to be used. I'm ready to submit to exactly what God wants me. I'm on cloud nine. That's where these guys are at. And then here's what happens. And so as I was looking through this stuff last night, because, shocker, I was not ready. So I was...
I didn't know we were
so... So I'm flipping through last night, and I'm like, this is... It just popped, right? Because this is where we're at. She's all good. I promise, I can be louder than her. So,
oh boy.
This is what happens. And so I'm going to try to move quickly, but here's chapter 7 as a whole. Here's what happens. But, anytime a chapter starts with the word but, it's like, oh, I see what you're doing here, God. But, the children of Israel committed a trespass and the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerai, wow, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. I'm just going to pull some things out as I read through this, right? Your hidden sin, whatever that is you got going on in your life, your indwelling, your unconfessed, it can defile the entire church, right? It can defile the whole. You might be like, what? I'm just dealing with some stuff, right? Okay, we'll see. We'll see as we go through this. But just know that your hidden sin, right? Things were going great with these guys. Everything was perfect. But he starts the chapter with but. Right? Your hidden sin can defile... Now, obviously, they weren't a church at this point. I'm trying to pull parallels as to our life, right? But your hidden sin can defile the whole church. Verse 2. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is like the next city. But it's a little city, right? It's just a little one. Which is beside Bethaven, on the east of Bethel. And spake of them, saying, go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people labor, for they are but few. Like, so, hey, we just took out Jericho, and that was like Fort Knox. You know, this is nothing. Just send a couple guys, just send a few of them over there, let them take care of it. It's no big deal, right? It's no big deal. This is what happens, and I'm not even going to say in your life because I don't know you. Actually, I do know you because you're just like me. But this is what happens in my life. I go to God when something's big, right? When there's a big thing, I'm like, God, I need your help. There's no way I can do this. But on the little things, on the simple things, on the things that's like, I need a shirt that says I got this, right? Because that's what I say. I tell Paige that all the time. I got this. Don't worry about it. I got this, right? Well, it's one thing to tell my wife that. That's another thing to be like, God, I got this. You know, next time I got something big going on, why don't you take a break on this one? I'll handle this. It's no big deal, right? I got this. And then, every time, you'd think, I'm a slow learner. Every time, I fall on my face, I'm like, huh, that really went well, didn't it? That's like the fast-forwarded version. You don't need all the details, but this is going great, right? It doesn't go, and it's just like, huh? Every time God's like, hey, just invite me for all of it, right? Big things, little things. I just want to be a part of it, right? They said, I got this, right? That's what they said. Compare what he says in verse 3. He says, they come back and they say, let not all the people go up. Now, jump back to chapter 6, verse 3. And this is what God says about this kind of stuff. It says, God says, and you shall compass the city, all ye men. He doesn't say just a few of you. All of you. Hey, we're doing this as a group, right? Group activity. Everybody loves those, right? It's like the icebreaker the other night. I wasn't even there for it. And I know everybody likes it when we got these big group activities. No. He says, all ye men of war, right? We do this thing together, right? We're doing this like this. Verse 4. So they went up thither of the people, about 3,000 men, just like they said they were going to, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote them, about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate even to Shebrim, and smote them of the going down, wherefore the hearts of the people melted, and it became as water. When we do things in our own power, guess what? God's not going to bless it. You would think I would get this. But over and over and over again, when I do things in my own power, when I'm like, God, I got this. It's no big deal. This is just a little thing. God doesn't bless it. Right? He just doesn't. And I can give you examples. I could go around the room. I got some guys in here that could give you some examples of when you do things in your own power, God doesn't bless it. It just doesn't work that way. And I'm talking about spiritual things. I'm talking about physical things. It doesn't matter what it is. God's not going to bless it. Right? It just doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. Keep him going, because I want to get to the end of this chapter is where I'm getting at. And Joshua rent his clothes, verse 6, and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until eventide. He and the elders of Israel put dust upon their heads. Right? Now, that's just a cultural thing that they did. It's kind of weird, but that's what they did. And Joshua said, "Alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? Would to God that we had been content and dwelt on the other side of Jordan." He goes right back to the same complaint they always had, right? "O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear it, and they shall that's a weird word. Inver on us and cut off our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do unto thy great name?" He's like, God, if you didn't notice what just happened, that wasn't good. Things were going great. Things were good, and I don't know what just happened, but this is not good. And I know this people, and they're getting ready to not be happy. Right? Our first reaction, this is the one thing I do like about what Joshua did here. He didn't just go to the people and complain. Our first reaction should be to seek God's counsel, not dig a deeper hole. That's what we do. Things go wrong, and I'm like, oh, okay, so I did have this, but things were going bad, but I can fix this, right? Never been there, have you? Nope, I'm all by myself. I can fix this. It's not that big of a deal, right? You're just digging a deeper hole. Things are just getting worse, right? I mean, I can give you physical examples of this. I'm talking like at work, you know. We got this. It's no big deal, right? The boat's only halfway sunk. Let's just fix it real quick. And I'm telling you, equipment, machinery, spiritual things, it doesn't matter, right? Oh, well, I can see that this isn't really going that great with this couple that we're dealing with. I got this, God. I'm not talking about you guys. But she just gave me a look. I'm dealing with a lot more than what you think. You can't have this "I got this" attitude with God, right? Our first reaction has got to be to seek God's counsel, not just continue to dig a deeper hole, right? Don't just keep digging. Don't just keep digging. Verse 10. "And the Lord said unto Joshua..." Huh, this is something you probably should listen to then, right? "And the Lord said unto Joshua, get thee up. Wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face?" Get up off the ground. What are you doing? Did you forget what I told you in chapter 1? That's what he's wanting to say, right? I'm just guessing. "Israel hath sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant which I commanded them, for they have even taken the accursed thing, and have also stolen and dissembled also, and they have put it among their own stuff. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they were cursed. Neither will I be with you any more, except you destroy the accursed thing from among you." God's like, hey, if you would have just asked me, I'd have told you. It probably isn't really wise to roll into AI till we take care of this. Oh, maybe I didn't have this, God. Maybe I don't got this. Here's what I got here. If you ask him to, now that's key, because the rest of this statement doesn't apply if you don't ask him to. If you ask him to, God will clearly reveal your sin to you. Now you might be like, I'm in some sort of a funk, right? Something's not quite right, but you know, it's not that big of a deal. I'm doing the best I can, right? If you were at the marriage conference, that resonates, right? I'm doing the best I can, right? If you ask him to, God will reveal that to you. Now, There may become a time that even if you don't ask him to, he's going to reveal it to everybody. But if you ask him to, he will reveal it. Like, I know something's not right. Something's not. If you ask, God will reveal that thing to you. He will. Well, no matter what it is, I got to keep moving around in time. Verse 13. This is still God talking. He says, "Up, sanctify thy people, and say, sanctify yourselves tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel, thou canst not stand." Well, that's good King James wording right there. "Thou canst not stand before thine enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you. In the morning, therefore, you shall be brought up according to your tribes, and it shall be that the tribe which the Lord shall taketh shall come according to the families thereof, and the family which the Lord shall take shall come by households, and the households which the Lord shall take shall come man by man. And it shall be that he that is taken with the accursed thing shall be burnt with fire, he and all that he hath, because he hath transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he hath wrought folly in Israel." Right? God's like, here's how we're going to take care of this. Right? If they're not going to reveal it, if they're not going to seek my face on it, I'll reveal it for you. Now, I hate to be the guy that has to reveal this to you, but if you don't seek God's face, and you don't take care of things in your prayer closet, if that's what you want to call it, God will bring it up right there in front of everybody. And He'll reveal it right there to everybody. Not only is He going to reveal it, but He's going to give you clear instruction on how to deal with it. This is what we're going to do. We're going to take care of this thing, right? Here's how He does that, right? Now, so, you might be able to hide your sin from everybody else, but you're never going to hide it from God. And maybe it's not outright sin. Maybe it's just unconfessed, right? Maybe it's just whatever it is, right? You know how, I know how I am, right? You can hide it from everybody else. Yeah, well, they got it all figured out, right? That's what you think. They got nothing figured out. God will usually give you a while to confess your sin in private, but if you won't, then God's usually going to make it public, right? That's how you see most pastors fall, right? Most men of prominence, right? They don't ever, you know, just quietly step away. It doesn't ever happen. It's usually some big blow-up. It's because they couldn't just simply confess it in the first place. And instead, it had to be some big blow-up, because God's not going to allow that leaven just to continue to mess up the church. Eventually, He's just going to reveal it, and it's going to be a big, hardcore breakup, right? And that's what has to happen. Because God's not going to allow the sin just to continue to dwell. So if you're not going to take care of it, then He will. Right? That's just the way it is. That's just the way it is. So Joshua rose up early in the morning and brought Israel by their tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken, just like he said it was going to happen. And he brought the family of Judah, and he brought the family of Zaharites, and brought the family of Zaharites man by man, and Zardai was taken, and he brought the household by man, and Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, the tribe of Judah was taken. And Joshua said unto Achan, "My son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done, hide it not from me." Right? God gives you opportunity to take care of this thing, because if not, it's going to become public, just like I said. Verse 20 and 21, I think there's some cool things here. "And Achan answered Joshua and said," because this is what happens, when people finally find out, then it becomes this big, ugly, right? And you could have just taken care of this thing privately. "And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw..." Now, if you write in your Bibles, you can underline the word "saw." "When I saw among the spoils of a godly, of a goodly Babylonish garment..." I don't know what Babylonish garments look like, but it must have been good. "When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold, and 50 shekels of weight, then I..." if you write in your Bibles, underline the word "coveted." "Then I coveted them..." And then, you can also underline the word "took." "Then I took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, the silver under it." So basically, I saw these things, I wanted them, and I took them, and now they're hidden in my house, or my tent, right? Now, I don't know if that those three words, I saw, I coveted, and I took, resonate with you or ring any bells with you. But this is the cycle of sin since the very beginning. What happened with Eve? Huh, that fruit looks good. I want that fruit. I'm going to have that fruit. Right? I see it. I want it. I take it. What happened with David? David's chilling up on the housetop or on the rooftop, right? Looking out the window or whatever he's doing. Not where he's supposed to be, if you know the story, right? Supposed to be at war with the rest of the guys and he's kicked back, right? What's he see? He sees Bathsheba over there. He's like, hey, I see that. Probably shouldn't be seeing that, but I see that, right? And, okay, I want that. Okay, so he sees, he wants, and what's he do? He makes provision. He has their husband killed, and he takes it, right? I can give you example after example after example. This is what happens in the Bible. And you might be like, okay, well, that's in the Bible. Because you've never done that, have you? Right? You've never said, I really want that, right? I think I should have that, right? I'm just going to go get it, right? That's why God gave me this really awesome redheaded wife, because I would be broke. I'm like, I think I should have that. I'll just go buy it, right?
Because remember this next time you see a real shiny truck.
Everybody needs like one of everything, right? Yes, I need one of those, and yeah, I might need that someday, right? And I'm just talking about, you know, just because I like to have things. I'm not even talking about sinful things, right? But no, it doesn't matter what it is. Well, we're working on this job. I've got to have that tool. Because you couldn't use one of the other, however many you've got, right?
Nail gun.
Okay. I've got one of every kind of nail gun that was ever made, Philip. Yeah, it was shoes. Yeah, shoes. Talk about my nail guns. This is what we do, guys. We see it. And we're like, huh, I think I should have that. And we want it, and then we just go get it. And we don't ever seek God's face in any of it. That's what we do. So let's wrap it up. Verse 22, so Joshua sent messengers, and they ran under the tent, and behold, it was hid in the tent, and the silver under it, just like he said it was going to be. And they took them out of the midst of the tent, and brought them unto Joshua, and unto the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerai, and the silver, and the garment, and the wedge of gold, and his sons, and his daughters, and his oxen, and his ass, and his sheep, and his tent, and all that he had, and brought them into the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned him with fire after they had stoned him with stones. Now, don't get any ideas when I want to buy something that you're going to, like, this is Old Testament stuff, right? And they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned the fierceness of his anger. Or wherefore, the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day. Okay, so the impacts of your sin, are going to reach a lot farther than what you think. Right? You think, well, I know I probably ought not be doing this. I know I probably shouldn't be whatever, but it's just hurting me. Right? I'll get it figured out. The impacts of your sin go a lot farther than you think. Right? I'll give you three ways. Obviously, your sin obviously has effects on your life. Right? I can see it. You know, you're just radiating ungodliness. Right? It's funny how people can generally see when you're messed up before you can even see it. You know, you're not acting, you know, there's this thing called the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians. It says that these are the things that will be manifest in your life. Generally, those things are gone, right? And you start manifesting the fruits of the flesh, right? So, your sin obviously has effects on your life. It also has effects on your family. You know, like, what do you mean? No, it's got to, just, I'm not saying that they're going to, like, take your family out like it happens here, right? Because it says that his sons and his daughters, obviously his wife, if he was, obviously he's probably married at this point, but your sin obviously has effects on your family, right? But here's one that most people don't get. And you really wouldn't get until you take a step back and you see what's really going on and how God takes care of this thing. Your sin also has effects on the church. And you might be like, well, I really don't care, right? Because I'm just trying to deal with stuff in my own life. Okay, that's fine. But you got to understand that we are a body of believers wanting to serve Christ together, right? And when something's going on in your life, It's going on in my life, right? When you're struggling with something, it's my job to want to help you with it. It's my job. But when you're fumbling around and you can't get right, that affects me, right? When the people at Passpoint are all out acting the fool, that affects me. And I'm not saying like you're giving me a bad name. I don't care, right? I'm just not that guy. But and then in turn, it affects the church, right? God's doing something through this church, whether you believe it or not. Like God is doing something. Your sin has effects on the church. Right? Even in some of the greatest promises and victories from God, right? I'm talking about, you know, Joshua getting this awesome promise, right? And, you know, they just went in and they took Jericho. And even in some of the greatest things, right? You know, you're rolling through life and you're like, I think I'm finally getting this thing. You know, we're reading through the Bible and I'm getting it. We just went to the marriage conference. Things are going really good, right? Whatever's going on in your life. Even in some of the midst of the greatest things, unconfessed and unrepented sin is going to lead to death. Right? And I don't mean like you're going to... I mean, both physically and spiritually, right? Now, I'm not saying you can lose your salvation. You guys know better than that. But you're not going to be sanctified, walking one with Christ if you're walking around with some unconfessed, some indwelling sin. It just doesn't work that way. And not only is it affecting you, but it's affecting us. It's affecting your family. And nobody's getting anything done because you can't figure your own life out, right? We got to quit telling God, I got this, and just being like, okay, God, what do you want me to do? Right? We got to have the mindset of, here am I, send me, right? God's not looking for ability. He's looking for availability. I can give you all different kinds of catchphrases to say it. God just wants you to be available, right? Just present yourself to Him, Romans 12, 1 and 2, as a living sacrifice and say, here am I. What do you want to do with me? Right? And when you have that attitude, you'd be amazed at what God can do. But instead, we get in the way. God's doing these awesome things in our lives, and then we're like, oh, well, I see something shiny. I want that. Right? This was really good because some of us are just like really rolling right now. And you know, we're doing stuff. Like God's doing things in your life. Don't allow something stupid, something in there that's just kind of, don't allow that to screw it up for everybody, right? And I'm worried about you, but don't allow that because that's what happens, right? This cat he's stoned, he's gone, his family's gone, everything he's got is gone because that's how God deals with things. He just completely starts over, right? That's not what we want. All right, so it kind of seems like a downer-ish way to end it, but hopefully that's not where we're at. But just guard yourself from that because it's not a coincidence that when God's doing some really awesome things in the nation of Israel, that He throws this in there. Like, He didn't have to throw chapter 7 in there. It could have been just, you know, something, anything else, right? Because after chapter 7, you know what they do? They roll into Ai, and they come up with this really awesome military plan, and, like, they take it out, right? And then from there, they go in and they take out everybody in the land. It's not a coincidence that God throws this in there, because He's like, hey, I've seen this before. And this is what people do. So guard yourself from it, right? All right, let's pray. We'll get out of here. See you next week, if not before. Father God, I love you. I thank you for today. I thank you for your word, Lord. I do thank you for just the warnings that you put in Scripture, if we can just open our eyes to see them, Lord. I do pray that you would guard our hearts, Lord, that you would guard us as a class, that you would use us, Lord, that we would make ourselves available for you just to go and do whatever you've called us to do. God, I just do pray that we would just be doers of the word, not hearers only. It's one thing to know the word and to hear it, Lord, but Lord, you've given us the promise, and you've given us the instruction on how to do it, so now there's an expectation that we would actually take the step and be more like you every day. So I pray that you would just send us out this week as lights in a dark world, Lord, that you would just use us to be the hands and feet of your church, Lord. I do pray for the team that's in Clinton today. I pray that you would just use them as just ministers to minister to the church there. I pray that you just bring us back as soon as you would, in Christ's name. Amen. All right, thanks guys. I'll see you next week, I guess.
The baby bottles and new bathrooms.
Oh.